Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here is this week's message.
Well, we're glad to be back. We had a good time in the States. We got in second day, it started snowing, and my daughter's friend started calling and saying, "Are your parents in town?" And she said, "Why?" And they said, "Because we got snow early again this year." So we got our fill of snow the second day we were there, halfway through, and then 2 days before we left. Asked you to pray for Kath. She was down a bit with the flu before we left, and then in the flights and all of that, she's still not feeling well. I'm almost over jet lag, not quite, so if I fall asleep up here preaching, somebody throw something at me and wake me up, okay? Oh, thank you, Paul. I knew I could count on you. So turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. We'll read those in just a moment. But today we're continuing our series in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is Better. Today we're going to see He is a better high priest. I've been looking forward to this message for quite a while as I've been preparing, because these are some of my favorite verses of Scripture in the Bible. Gives us a lot of hope in times of trial and temptation, and that we have a high priest. And he's not just a high priest, but he's one that has gone through everything we go through. And because of that, he wants to help us. And he invites us to boldly come into his throne room and make our petitions known to him, and he will answer. And so it's a real encouraging word today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to come to your word. Father, I ask as I stand before your people that I won't use my own words or wisdom, but Father, I'll share forth the gospel and the power and the anointing of your Spirit. Father, I ask that you would help us today to hear that still small voice of your Spirit, that Father, we can understand that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest, the one who gave it all for us that we may be here today. And he makes access into his throne room for us when we have need. Father, we ask that you would just be with us and lead us and guide us. Help us to be changed today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's just a bit of introduction. The first readers of this epistle, the book of Hebrews, they were tempted to abandon their Christian faith and turn back to Judaism because of the persecution. In the chapter that you just finished, the last two or three messages that you heard while I was gone, the author had given an extended exhortation using the example of Israel in the wilderness, that they failed to enter into the rest of God because of their unbelief and their disobedience. And we, as the people of God, must diligently seek to enter into the rest that God has for us. Our life as a Christian shouldn't always be a life of turmoil, but we should be at peace and at rest in the things of God. I think last week you heard about the Word of God, and if we will respond in faith and obedience to God's Word, it will expose our sins and show us His ways. A lot of times I talk to people that have gotten out of the habit of reading the Word, and they say, "The reason I don't like reading the Word is every time I read it, it convicts me of something in my life." Well, guess what? That's what it's supposed to do. That's its job. It's the mirror of God that shows us the things in our lives that aren't right. And it exposes us to our sin. And then after these stern warnings, He comes now and he gives us encouragement that all of those who have discovered that this Christian walk has some trials, some turmoil, some temptations, and everything about serving Jesus is not always easy. He now says, don't worry. Jesus went exact through everything that you're going through. And Jesus knows everything that's happening to you. And he overcame it. And therefore, you also can overcome it. One of the commentaries that I read said this: Jesus, true God and true human being, is a high priest fully willing to help, as his suffering for sinners demonstrates. And he is fully able to help because he combines perfect understanding of and sympathy with the struggling believer's lot in this world of sin. And he has unlimited ability to help. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Jesus has been where I am. Jesus has walked before me in the things that I go through, and therefore he is able to help. So let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In these scriptures, the author revisits a concept that he brought up in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, that Jesus is the high priest. And because he was tempted, he can help those who are tempted. These verses, I believe, give us two exhortations based on the high priesthood of Jesus. The first exhortation that he gives is we need to persevere. He says, let us hold fast to our confession. And we'll study that in verses 14 and 15. And then the second exhortation that we have because of the high priesthood of Jesus is prayer. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Both of these are needed. You and I, during times of trial and temptation, when everything's not going well, we need to persevere. We need to stand firm and stand in Jesus. And we do that through our prayer life. So let us just go through these. I want to go bit by bit through these verses, so this will be more of a teaching session than a fiery preaching sermon, if that's okay. Let us hold fast our confession. It says, let us hold fast. This let us, that reminds me, it is both individual, I need to do this, and it's collective. We need to do this corporately as the body of Christ. So what is our confession? Our confession basically is the belief and the trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus has been raised from the dead and he has conquered sin. He ascended into heaven to show his power over sin. My confession is that I trust in the saving work of Jesus Christ. He overcame sin. He has delivered me from sin, and I can walk a sin-free life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And my confession is both personal and public. My personal confession is I have trusted in Jesus Christ and He is my Lord and Savior. And then my public confession to the world is I am a Christian, I am a follower of Christ. And I can tell them the good news of Jesus. See, it's not enough just to know you're saved. We need to confess it publicly to others. We need to have a public confession. And verses 14 and 15 give us some reasons we can hold fast to our confession. And we'll just go through those. The first one is Jesus is a great high priest. He's not just a high priest. He is a great high priest. The high priest of the Old Testament, the high priest of Israel, they were all human just like you and I, and they all had the same sin problem that we have. When those high priests once a year made an offering, a sacrifice for the sins of the people, they had to sacrifice for themselves as well. Understand? Because they were sinners themselves. But not Jesus. Jesus is God who came in human flesh to be the perfect sacrifice. He doesn't have to now make a sacrifice for His own sin because He is without sin. So He is a better high priest than Aaron and all of those that went after Him. See, the high priest is a go-between God and man. The high priest's job is to represent God to man and show man what God requires. And then he also takes the needs of the people, of man, and gives it to God. So Jesus is that go-between. Or the high priest was that go-between. But Jesus is the only one who didn't have to offer a sacrifice for His own sin, but He was the sacrifice. What's really interesting is the high priest was the sacrifice. Think about that. The high priest was the sacrifice, and then he offered the sacrifice to God in heaven, Jesus. He is a better high priest. As I was studying this, I thought it was interesting that the word, he is a great high priest, that word great is where we get our word mega. So you could say he is a mega high priest. Jesus is bigger than life. Jesus is better than any other high priest. Jesus is the better go-between. You can trust Him with your life. You can trust Him with everything you have. And then the second reason that we can hold to our confession is because Jesus has passed through the heavens. See, the earthly high priest, Aaron and every high priest that came after him, once a year they would sacrifice a sin offering for the sins of the people. And once a year they would take the blood of that offering and they would go inside the Holy of Holies, which represented the presence of God, and they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to cover the sins of the people for a year. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus sacrificed Himself, and then He passed through the heavens. And He went right to the throne room of God and sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat in heaven, bypassing the tabernacle. Remember when He died, the veil was rent, making access for everyone into the presence of God. Jesus is the one who from all eternity has been the Son of God, the heir of all, the agent of creation, and the perfect revelation of the Father. When it says that He has passed through heaven, that is a present tense verb, which means not only did He pass through heaven, but He's still there. Jesus is still in heaven. He's still making intercession for you and I, and we'll talk about that a little later. Another reason we can hold fast to our confession is because Jesus is the Son of God. He is human and divine. He relates to me, to us as humans, and He relates to God because He is God. Jesus is the perfect mediator. He knows both sides of the conversation. Think about it. Jesus knows us intimately, and He knows the Father intimately. So we can have confidence in Him because He is the Son of God. And then Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. The Greek word sympathize means to actively help someone. So Jesus doesn't just feel sorry for us, but He helps us in our weaknesses. Let me ask you, how many of you are ever weak in your faith? You're ever weak believing the things of God. We all are from time to time, but Jesus sympathizes, or Jesus actively helps us in that weakness. How many of you are human? Let me see your hand. Okay, look around. Well, I think we've got some aliens in here because their hands aren't up. You're human? Okay. Every human that's in this room has a propensity to give in to temptation from time to time. True? Okay. But this high priest sympathizes or helps us in our weaknesses because He cleanses us from the sin when we fall into temptation, and He gives the power of His Spirit to help us overcome temptation. Now, Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But Jesus sympathizes and He helps us in that time of need in our weakness. He sympathizes with us. You know, sometimes when I'm going through something, I don't need a lot of help. I don't need a lot of prayer. Sometimes it's just a brother coming up, put their arm around you and say, "Oh, brother, I'm standing with you. I understand what you're going through." Reminds me of a story of a little boy that went by a shop and he saw a sign, "Puppies for Sale." And he really wanted a puppy, so he ran in and he asked the guy, he says, "How much are your puppies?" And the fellow said, "Oh, they're $25 a piece." And the little boy's face fell and he said, "Well, I don't have that much, but can I see the puppies?" And the guy said, "Yeah." So he whistled and here comes the mom running around the yard and four little pups all chasing her and bouncing, and they were so cute. This little boy just had to have a puppy, but he didn't know how he was going to get the $25. And after a minute or so, here comes another little puppy around the house limping on three legs. It's one of its hind legs didn't work. And the little boy looked at that puppy and he asked the man, he says, "What's wrong with him?" He said, "Oh, he was born crippled and the vet said that he will never walk properly." And the little boy says, "I want him. Can I pay a little bit every week because I don't have $25? And the man said, "Son, don't you understand that that puppy is crippled? He'll never walk right. Why do you want him?" And the little boy pulled up his pants leg and he had a brace on his leg. He said, "Sir, I'm crippled and he needs help and I know how to help him." And the guy said, well, son, you can have that puppy because you'll take care of him. Now, that's a terrible illustration of Jesus having sympathy for us, but it kind of helps you understand that Jesus went through what we went through, and he understands. See, sometimes you go through things and you don't understand why you're going through them, but down the road, God can use that to help you sympathize with someone else and help them through what they're going through, because you have already been through it. The next thing, reason we can trust Jesus and hold fast to our confession, is he was tempted in every way that we are. Everything you've ever been through, Jesus went through it. Now, there is no sin in being tempted. If Jesus could not be tempted, then he was not truly a man. But if he yielded to temptation, he could not be the Savior. Jesus was tempted. So when you're going through something and you think you're the only one that this has ever happened to, no, remember, Jesus went through it as well. And then the last reason we can hold fast to our confession is Jesus was not only tempted like we are, but he was without sin. See, there was no difference in the way that Jesus was tempted than the way that we are tempted. But there was a vast difference in the outcome of the temptation. Jesus never sinned. Let me ask, is there anybody here that can make that statement? They have never sinned? No, only Jesus. See, the difference enables him to help us overcome. The phrase that says he has been tempted translates a Greek word in the perfect tense, which means that the result of his overcoming temptation when on earth is still available for us today. Jesus Christ, our high priest, understands what we're going through, and he is here to help us. He's here to see us through, regardless of how bad things ever get. That's the first exhortation that we are given, is to hold fast to our confession. And then the second exhortation is in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This is prayer. How do we receive the help from Jesus to hold fast to our confession, to where we don't fall back, we don't slip away, we don't give up when times are tough? It's by spending time and coming boldly to the throne of grace. Again, it says, let us. We must take the initiative to go to God in prayer. We don't just sit back and wait for God to come to us. We go to Him in prayer. Every Christian needs to pray, as our spiritual life depends on it. Let me encourage you, don't always be looking for someone else to pray for you. It's great to have people pray for you, but you must pray for yourself. Okay? You must come to God in prayer. Then you can have other people pray for you, and that's great. You need to go to God yourself. So let us come boldly. Don't be timid when you come to God in prayer. He is your heavenly Father, and He wants to spend time with you. Let me say that again. He is your heavenly Father, and He wants to spend time with you. He loves you, and He wants to help you. When you come to God in prayer, be straightforward and be honest because He already knows what you think. Don't try to hide things from God. If you don't understand something in His Word, say, God, I don't understand this. It doesn't make any sense. Help me. When I first got saved and heard about tithing, that I was supposed to give 10% of everything I made to God and He was going to take care of me, well, 100% of everything I made didn't take care of me. And I just one day in prayer, I said, God, this doesn't make sense. But when I went to school, if 100% isn't enough, 90's even less. But Your Word says it, so I'll try it. And guess what? 40-something years later, it still works. I can't explain it, and I don't understand it. But it still works. I mean, He takes care of things. Things don't break down like they used to. For a while, I felt like one of the children of Israel. I had a shirt I'd been wearing for almost 20 years till my wife finally threw it away. But that was my Wugga shirt, you know, and it seemed like it never wore out. But God takes care of us. Just be honest with Him. Be bold. Be confident. Don't be wimpy in your prayer thinking that it's super spiritual to say, well, God, I don't know if You can answer this, but if You could help me, please. No, just boldly pray because God wants to answer us. So ask. Boldly means basically with freedom of speech. Talk to God like you would a friend. Prayer is not quoting King James English. You ever heard people pray in church and it's all the these and the thous and the thuses? And no, just talk to God. Whatever language, it doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to use Christian terminology. Just tell God what's on your heart. Boldly come to Him. And we come to the throne of grace. Throne represents the sovereignty of God. The throne is where the king sits. God is a sovereign God. Grace represents His benevolence. Not only is He a sovereign God on the throne, but He offers benevolence to His people. See, He's not like a normal king. When you come before a normal king, you have to bow and grovel and all of these things, and you have to be just so and just perfect to come into His presence. And normally it's all about the king and His kingdom and those kinds of things. But not so with Jesus. The throne of grace is different. God dispenses goodness to His people. God wants to show you His kindness and His benevolence. But you also have to come in reverence and awe of Him. It's not flippant. He's not a cosmic Santa Claus that gives you whatever you ask. No, He is a sovereign God. And why do we come to the throne of grace? So that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When we come to God in prayer, He always does two things in our life. We obtain mercy and we find grace. Mercy is obtained for our past sins. Mercy takes care of the sin problem. And we find grace for future work, future trials, future temptations. So when we come to God in prayer and we find His mercy and His grace, our sins are covered and our future is taken care of. Mercy, let me just give you some definitions. Mercy is the remission of deserved judgment, while grace is the supply of undeserved blessing. Listen, mercy is the remission of deserved judgment. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us deserves to be judged by God. We're the sinner, God's the judge, and he should just strike us down, and that's it. Because we all fall short of his glory. But his grace is a supply of undeserved blessings. Both are needed in the believer's life. Simply saying, mercy is not getting what I deserve. I deserve punishment, I don't get it. Grace is getting what I do not deserve. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve the righteousness of Christ. But in his grace, God gives it. Somebody did an alliteration of grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. And then the last thing about prayer here and coming to God, it says, in a time of need. Let me give you a reality check. Sometimes God doesn't answer prayer immediately. He answers it at the proper time, in the time of need. Most of the time, it's not on my timetable, but it's always on God's timetable. See, if it was on my timetable, God would meet the need before I even knew I had it, and then I would never have the need. Okay? God doesn't work that way. He wants us to rely on him. I like what John Piper said. He said, prayer is a wartime walkie-talkie for spiritual warfare, not a domestic intercom to increase the comfort of the saints. Think about that. He goes on to explain it. Prayer is not to make us comfortable and cozy. Prayer is our walkie-talkie to bring in the needed supplies as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you were under fire in the battle, hold fast to your confession, because Jesus is our great high priest. If you have needs, pray. Come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find grace to help in battle. It's in the time of need. I love that illustration of the wartime walkie-talkie. When we're in battle, God is there to help us and to see us through. During those times of trials and temptation and when everything's not going right, you can pray to God. And he will help you and he will answer. But think about your prayer life. Just this last week in your prayer life, was it more about an in-house intercom system to where God would make you feel a little better and help you with your situation? Or was it prayers of warfare because you're out proclaiming the good news with your public confession? I'll have to tell you, a lot of times my prayer centers around me and my family and our ministry. I've sometimes turned prayer into an internal in-house intercom system. But I was challenged when I read this about the walkie-talkie of wartime. We're in the trenches, we're in the battle, and we have a direct line to God to help us. In conclusion, Abiel, if you guys want to come up and get ready for our last song. When times are tough, hold fast to your confession and boldly come to the throne of grace for help. God will help you persevere, and he will meet you in your time of prayer. Let me read that scripture one more time, and then we're going to sing this last song. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Heavenly Father, I come to you and thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the challenges that we face in the book of Hebrews, the exhortations and the... Sometimes it's a hard word, but you always give us an encouraging word as well. And Father, I thank you today that we have a great high priest named Jesus, who was the sacrifice for our sin. And as the high priest, he offered that sacrifice before your throne. And he's ever seated in heaven today, interceding on our behalf. Father, help us to quit doing things in our own strength and in our own way, but Father, help us each one to boldly come to your throne of grace, because all of us need to obtain mercy and find your grace on a daily basis. Father, we love you today. We come before you humbly and say, Father, forgive us. For too many times we've concentrated on ourselves and not on you and what you desire for the world. Father, help us to hold fast during the times of trial and temptation to our personal confession that we are believers. And Father, help us never to shy away from our public confession by giving the good news of Jesus to those around us. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.